Hello and welcome to Artists Soar. This is a podcast for artists by three artists. We discuss all aspects of being artists, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The goal of each podcast is to provide solutions so artists can focus on their creativity and soar above. I'm Rachel Harshenko.
Jules McCullough.
Stephanie Weaver.
Carol Burnett once said, "Words, once they are printed, have a life of their own." In today's episode, we're going to be talking about whether or not to print or not to print for local shows in your area. So, just take that "so" out. I don't know why I said "so."
I think you need to keep it in just so it makes it a little... No.
This is all being left in. I can look at Julie and she's already looking at me like...
Simplify.
Yeah. So what is everybody working on?
Let's see. So I'm kind of looking at Christmas right about now. You know, it takes me a little bit to actually put together any new Christmas cards, Photoshop stuff together, because I do a lot of pet portraits, but a lot of those pet portraits can easily be made into Christmas cards. All I got to do is do a little bit of Photoshop work. And that's one of the things that I procrastinate on because I suck at Photoshop.
You don't suck at Photoshop.
I'm not as good as Julie over here. Julie is just like phenomenal at Photoshop.
Well, I know. That's your superpower.
I know. It's her superpower. Yeah. So I'm working on Christmas in July, and I just finished a cat pet portrait that's in a Christmas tree, and I'm going to make that one of the Christmas cards. It's adorable, even if I do say so myself. You guys haven't seen it yet. The lady hasn't gotten it yet, so it's a gift from girl to her mom.
Oh, that's sweet. What are you working on, Julie?
So on that note, I should be working on my... I should be working on my advent calendar and getting that started.
Love your advent calendar. Yeah.
God, so, that's so much work.
I know. I need to get on top of it and actually like start organizing it now so that I don't have to do it at the last minute.
I like your advent calendar.
So the advent calendar idea is basically you do...
Yeah. So I do a quote every day for the month of December. And then every... you have to check the advent calendar every day, but I give away either like an art print or a downloadable of some sort. If I open my shop back up, I will give away a coupon to the shop.
Well, your shop, I mean, they could come to the studio.
Right. They could get a coupon at the studio. There's little gifts in there throughout the month.
Yeah.
But most of it is just, you know, reminders of the season and spreading kindness and bringing joy to people is really what it's about, the advent calendar.
It's really cute.
And but it takes a ton of planning.
It does, but you can find it this December at www.juliemstudios.com.
That's correct.
And I want a copy of it. She's just...
It's too much.
It's a lot.
Oh my God, it's so much.
It's so cute though.
It really is.
Yeah. It's really actually hard to come up with the quotes and everything appropriately for the month.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're getting such a leap on it this year.
Yeah, because I did not get a good leap on it last year and I fell behind on it. And it only went about half of the month because it's so much work and I didn't start it soon enough. Started it in September and I should have started it in July. And
Well, I just wonder too, is like, do you really need to do rework on it or can you just use what you used last year?
Well, I already have what I have for last year.
Yeah.
Some of it. I don't have it all planned out because I didn't plan far enough in advance for it last year, but I'm going to reuse some of what I did last year. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. But you have a lot of new stuff too, which will be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I'm finishing up an Obi-Wan Kenobi pop art thing, but I'm going to change him up. So right now his face is yellow, but I need to make it blue and I need to work on the lightsaber and there's some stuff I need to work on.
Very cool.
Yeah, he's very cool.
So that's what I'm working on. And I need to... Christmas.
You're welcome.
I know.
Everybody,
let me just put that on. Yeah, everybody who's listening is just like, oh,
yeah. Well, in Positive Painters, you can go sign up for the July challenge, which is Christmas in July.
Okay.
Yeah. Very cool. I'm trying to get people prepared for the Christmas, you know, the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Fourth quarter push.
Yeah.
We got to do it now.
Yeah.
So, okay. So here is our subject for today. To print or not to print? That is the question. For art shows and fairs and things that are happening during the summer, what do you guys? Now, I know, Julie, you used to get prints heavy.
Yes.
And have them, and they were ready to go.
Right.
Have you changed your tactic on this?
If I was to do an art show again, I would not print as much as I printed. I think that was my ignorance going into it and not knowing enough people who had done art shows to talk to them about it. Yeah. I definitely think that you may have some things for print, but I think if you're going to venture out to an art show, you kind of need to know what the demographic is that's coming to the art show to know if you should print or not.
That's a good idea. I wonder how you could film that now.
Well,
I mean, hopefully the
show people
would know.
Yeah.
Right? The directors could give you that information.
Yeah. Like there was an art show in Atlanta where, you know, that show I would have lots of originals for Dogwood Festival. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it's called.
Yeah,
that's right.
And there was one in Columbus, Ohio. I don't remember what it's called, but it was near the German area of downtown Columbus. And that one, too, I would have a lot more originals than I would prints. The demographic that's coming to those was a lot influential.
Higher disposable income.
Right, mm-hmm. Exactly. And then, but there's other shows around here that I would think that you'd want to have more prints available and less originals.
Right. And I have not done any shows, just done them with you and you, mm-hmm. actually. I go and help be an assistant. So, but right now I just do print on demand. Mm-hmm. I don't have any print prints.
And that's all I do now.
Print prints. That's a legal term.
Yeah.
Can you use that? But I know you may have changed because you're doing something here in Madison every Saturday. So, what's your tactic on that?
Even that, I don't take prints.
Really?
My objective is to get more pet portraits and people into the classes. So mm-hmm. I'm not really trying to sell a lot of prints. I have a single basket of prints that I just honestly want to get rid of because I've had them for a while. I don't want them anymore. Just somebody take them. And uh-huh. and I'm actually giving some away. So I have part of my booth set up is a sign up to win this print. And so I get signups for that. Somebody wins it every week. And that works. The other thing that I'm actually creating prints for is for a local shop, Alabama Goods. So that one's actually, they want products. So I'm having prints made for that. But for actual shows, I would rather them go to my website. So my goal is to get them on my email list and then I send them. And if they speak to me specifically, like one lady told me, oh, I'd love a goat painting. Another one was like, oh, I'd love a hedgehog and I'd love a pig and all this. I write next to their name and that way I can target them for the specific piece of artwork and send them to my Etsy shop to get a print on demand. Because mm-hmm. There's just so much... You get stuck with so many pieces.
Yes.
Uh-huh. We were talking with Jim Solomon the other day, and he did shows all the time. That was his major breadwinner.
Right.
And he actually weighed his trailer, and loading and unloading his photography work was 625 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
And that's not all just artwork. I mean, that's the tent and everything
right.
else, but 625 pounds that you're lugging around, I'm not going to do that by myself.
Not happening. So, sorry.
Not happening. And you get into the problem about accounting.
Yep.
The accounting for prints and having an inventory, you know, having to deal with all that.
Insurance.
I'm just not interested.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to know, like, we do have some friends who do art shows almost every week.
Yeah.
Brooke, our friend Brooke.
Yeah.
And I know she has a ton. She takes originals, but I know she has prints.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing.
She's got it down to such a science now, too, of how she does it.
And this is a girl that sold 800 paintings, original paintings, in a year. So if you can imagine how many prints she sold, it's probably a lot more than that.
Yeah.
And she, when you walk into her booth, it's just like a filing cabinet.
Right.
It's a lot.
But I like her business model because her artwork is
small.
Yes.
So it's not like a huge investment for someone to come into her booth and say, oh, I want this $40 painting.
Yeah.
Hopefully she's charging quite a bit. I'm hoping. But it's not
really.
I don't know.
But really. I've bought two of her pieces and I think I paid a total of $70.
Right. Okay. So about $35.
It's a low price point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I love, you know, but she's rocking and rolling it.
Oh, yeah. That's how they're making their living. Her and her husband. They're doing good. I mean, it's a choice with kind of whatever business model you want to have, I think. I personally, I don't like having a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I don't either. I've just got like too much.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, I'm still selling prints in a bargain bin at the studio from when I used to do art shows.
At Low Mill, Studio 120.
Yeah.
There's always a bargain.
It's true. Those pieces look really great. And having
They're
and
gorgeous.
Stuff, and the prices are just enough to recover, really.
Right. That's all it is. I mean, it's basically $12 a print. I don't care what size it is. It's $12 a print if it's in that bargain bin because I just want to get rid of it. But I need to recover my cost from matting and bagging and printing it. But now if I print anything, I just print it off my home printer. And that's...
But you have a good home printer.
Right.
So
That's a key.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I usually do print, you know.
So you don't even go like to any sort of print place and get your prints.
No, I'm just going to print.
But you do, right?
Copy for myself.
Yeah. So I know in one of our previous podcasts, we talked about like ways to save money and the shipping without the economy as it is. And so I actually found a place here in Huntsville. They're called Wood Tech. And they'll actually take the image of your artwork and print it onto wood, and it looks freaking fantastic.
It was really good.
Yeah, and it's like $12 for like a 6x6, I think, is what I ended up on a half inch piece of wood, and I can resell those at Alabama Goods and make a profit. But so I found them. But I think, what I think is interesting, I remember this like probably about 3 years ago when I was, or 4 years ago, when I had art storefronts as my website. And I listened to their podcast, it was Art Marketing Podcast. And what they recommended and had success was, is they would print out one example of the print and have that in the booth and then put a little QR code to order the print from their website.
Yep.
And that way they didn't have to be shipped right to your home in the size that you need.
Yep.
You know, and that's that. From that point on, I was like, yep, never buying another print that's going to reside in my booth.
Because it's so hard to know what people are going to want to buy, too. And you never have the size they want. Never.
Or in the frame that they want.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So just frames, the prints. Frames can get damaged quickly.
Yes.
Especially if you're doing multiple shows.
Yeah.
Right.
But I like the QR code thing, but I don't like if I'm looking for artwork and I'm going to like an art show, I don't know if I would like QR code it, but maybe I would. I don't know.
I mean, the booth person could facilitate the whole thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they could enter everything for them. And,
And
just say, hey, you're getting in 3 to 5 days. There you go.
Yes.
You don't have to carry anything around.
Yeah. Right.
See, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really nice. And they interviewed somebody on one of their art podcasts that had like a six-figure show.
Wow.
Yeah. And they did a lot of it where it was just orders.
Hmm.
Well, one guy sold out and then he was like, okay, well, I'm going to bring up my app.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So let me ask you guys this for shows and local shows and things. Does it matter if it's an indoor show or an outdoor show? Or is it just like, oh, like Dogwood? I'm sure that's out.
Yeah, that's an outdoor.
I mean, like, it's still very popular. I mean, is that still something you're going to go for? Just try and get in? Or do you look for things that are in an arena or inside? Well, and I can just tell you what I would go for the indoor shows.
The only thing with the shows that I can think of off the top of my head that are indoor, you have a lower demographic that's looking more for crafty stuff than necessarily
arts and crafts.
Arts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the problem with finding a fine art show. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to find one that's indoors that's going to be of that.
Isn't that funny, though?
Right,
because you have like fine art, but you're going to sell it outside in the
elements. I know, right? But people are used to going to art shows, and that's kind of the expectation. They're typically outdoors. They're typically in the spring and the fall.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what part of the country you're in. That's where they typically are, and that's where you're going to see more of the originals. But it is kind of crazy. Like, why would you have that?
I mean, you're taking a $5,000 painting
and hanging it outdoors
and putting it outside and having it in your van and then
dust kicking up everywhere.
Yeah. Just, I mean, it's just, there's so many things wrong with that. But
I mean, I was just, I guess you have like arts and crafts or fairs and that would be indoors. But then you think farmers market locally, you know, we have Green Street and everything and that's outdoors.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. But see, like, that's a show that I have prints at versus originals.
Yeah, because it's people walking prints. Around with, like, $20-$30 in the pocket ready to go. Yeah.
Yeah. And when people typically go to an art show, I think they're either looking for originals or they're looking just to look.
Mm-hmm.
They're not, you know, just walking around with $20 in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Are you finding it's worth doing some shows this summer?
Yeah, but again, my purpose is different. I'm just trying to get pet portraits. And so mine is a future sale. It's not like an immediate sale right there.
Mm-hmm.
So with a future sale, it's all about, you know, tell me about your pet. And, you know, if you're interested, sign up on my newsletter. And what I'll do is I'll contact you about the next steps for your pet portrait. And, or if they're interested in the art, I have a newsletter. And then I'll also tell them in the next newsletter, I'll talk about the piece that I'm going to release next week. And so you can get a sneak peek at that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's my whole purpose. If I pay for, like, when I did the Montesano shows, I did take prints. And there, my purpose for the prints was to recover the amount that I paid for the booth. That was the only purpose. Right. But I was still pushing, I want pet portraits and such.
Right.
So I think it just depends on what your purpose is.
Yeah. I think that's a key question to ask is, what is the purpose to the art show? Am I trying to build my email list? Am I, you know, trying to recover the cost of the show? What am I trying to do?
And you really do need the information about the demographics, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
And that was something that I did email the people about, like, what's the average price point? You know, what should I expect? How many people are actually going to be there? Things like that. Because there were certain shows that I did that were for dogs, really. It was a fundraising event for dogs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that I knew there were going to be a bunch of kids. And so what I did was I just brought things that were more kids' activities enough to refund or pay for my booth.
That was good how you did that, though. Tell me what you did for that.
So that I had printed little postcards with, and I got the permission of the fundraising group that we were working with. When I say we, it's the me and the mouse in my pocket when I was working with.
Yeah.
I drew out like a tiger and a flamingo and a giraffe, and I had them printed onto little postcards that had the title of the event. And kids would sit down and watercolor, pencil color, whatever. Mm-hmm. I had like three different mediums for them to sit and color with. And it was nice. I mean, kids just kind of sat down, but that was a different demographic. I didn't even try to sell any prints.
But it was like a 99 cent or a dollar a card or
something. I did $5 a card.
Oh, there you go. Because it's a fundraiser.
It's a fundraiser. And I like the stack of cards that I had left over, I gave to the organization. They're using it for camps this summer. And it has my URL on the bottom. So it's advertising nice. For me. And that's kind of how I looked at it. It's some of the shows you're just going to get your name out.
Yeah.
That's a good idea, though. Expense. I thought that was a great marketing idea.
Marketing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, that was brilliant. And I think that's really what it boils down to, if you print or not, is the demographics, why you're there. Mm-hmm. You know, because the likelihood of recovering all the money for that show, for those prints, is slim if you print too many.
Right.
And so if there's other alternatives that people could engage with and still purchase, then that may be a better option than necessarily investing in all the prints.
So what if you're doing like, you know, more than one show? Do you, I don't know, like you're a first timer, would you order more prints, do you think? I mean, like, kind of divide it up. You're like, okay, I'll do 10 prints here, 10 prints mm-hmm. there. I don't know. I mean, for first timers out there, like what would be a good recommendation?
I would actually research the show and find other artists that have been there that are similar to you that and have done them. And contact them. Yes.
Yeah.
Actually reach out, email or call, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Is that when I first started, I did the strategy that you're talking about, Rachel, which is I printed like 5 of every painting that I had.
Yep. That's okay. What I did.
And I ended up with so many, like I'm still trying to get rid of some.
Yeah, that's my bargain bin.
Yes, yes. So don't do that.
Okay, yes. Don't do that.
Mistakes.
Don't print 5 of everything.
Yeah. Right. Because I remember, like, I had my dining room set up and the kids were helping me put them all together with the mattings and the sleeves. Stick the sticker on the back. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. No, never again.
Nope. Don't do it.
No.
I like the whole idea of, like, if you're unsure.
Mm-hmm. The QR code.
And you have multiple shows. Say you've got like 2 or 3 shows mm-hmm. until September. Like maybe have a few of your favorites that you know will go or that you just want to push mm-hmm. and then do the QR codes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Learn from those first few shows, find out what works the best, and mm-hmm. then have prints mm-hmm. of those the next time.
And be sure that you talk to other booths of other artists that are similar to you. You know, mm-hmm. talk to other ones that have similar styles or similar mediums or whatever it might be and see what they have found is successful.
Yeah. And talk to the show organizer to find the ideal price points.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good idea too.
Yeah. That's mm-hmm. a really good idea.
Like what's your medium mm-hmm. and
mm-hmm. what's the demographic that you're geared towards? Who are you advertising this with? Mm-hmm. Are you doing any advertising? Is it only local area or local radio or is it, print?
And you can sometimes look at the vendor lists from the year prior.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And then you can
and reach out to them. Mm-hmm. Are they going to do the show again? Are they going to submit to be juried again? Are they not? And why aren't they? What did they find unsuccessful from this show? Are they doing other shows or they've just decided not to do any shows? Because you can always find the old list.
Yeah, that's a good idea too.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
So a little bit about print and a little bit about art shows.
Yeah, right.
A little bit about everything, which I kind of like. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'll ever do an art show, though.
No, never say never. You might be surprised.
I know. I was going to say.
Never.
I wouldn't put it past me. But what do you guys do? Are you guys out there doing art shows every weekend? If so, how do you do it? I wouldn't even know where to begin. But have you tried the QR codes or do you have a link to your website where they can just purchase online? Let us know in the comments. We love hearing from you. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to Artists Soar,
a podcast for artists by artists. And if you have any questions, feel free to email us at hello@artistsoar.com.
And be sure to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts so you can get more of us and we can bring in some sponsors to help you and help us.